Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
And now, prepare yourself for the only talk radio show you'll want to turn up.
Crank this thing.
Sirius XM Pandora presents the place where your hard rock and metal voice can still be heard.
You got your ass beat.
Unfiltered, uncensored, say whatever you want.
Hit the record button. Anything can happen, you know?
I know that ain't nobody out there came to be mellow tonight, now did you? I say there ain't nobody. I say there ain't nobody not out there that even wants to be a little bit mellow, now is there? Anybody wants to get mellow, you can turn around and get the fuck out of here, all right?
This is the Trunk Nation Podcast with host A. Trunk.
Hey everybody, it's Eddie Trunk, and welcome to the Eddie Trunk Podcast. Interviews with some of your favorite rock artists. New episodes every Thursday, anywhere you get your podcast. Be sure to subscribe and don't miss an episode. As I tell you every week, the interviews you hear on this podcast originate on my Sirius XM radio show, which is called Trunk Nation and is live Monday through Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time. Nightly re-airs 10 to midnight Eastern, or on demand, anything you want, anytime you want, audio, video, more on the Sirius XM app. If you're only listening to this podcast and you live in the U.S. or Canada where you can get Sirius XM, you're only getting a tiny, tiny taste of what I do on a daily basis on the radio. So I hope you come on board and join me. Don't forget to follow on social media as well, at Eddie Trunk, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook page, eddietrunk.com is the website. Also, a heads up to those in Southern California, July 7th, I will be at the Rainbow in L.A. from 7 to 9. There's a big party for Ronnie James Dio, would have been his 80th birthday, also celebrating the re-release of Holy Diver with the special remixed edition, some other surprises as well. It's open to the public, 7 to 9, next, well, if you're listening to this on post-day, next Thursday, July 7th, at the Legendary Rainbow in West Hollywood, California. I'll be there hosting. Hope to see you if you're in the area. Keep an eye on my social media for info, updates on appearances, everything happening in the world of rock. Now, speaking of appearances, just a couple weeks ago, I was in Corning, California. Had a great time at the Rolling Hills Casino, where I hosted an evening with Cheap Trick and Extreme. And I also did my Sirius XM show that day from the casino, and dropping by were Gary Cherone of Extreme and Pat Badger of Extreme. Nuno Betancourt was going to come by, but he had not gotten to the venue by the time I had gotten off the air. So it was great visiting with both of them. They both came by separately, though, because Gary was on the fence about coming on the air because Extreme have a new record coming and they can't announce it yet, and I love Gary, but Gary was just, you know, it took a little convincing to get him to want to come on the air. Pat sat right down and he came on first and talked for a bit. So Pat Badger and Gary Cherone, bass player and singer from Extreme, spent some time with them a couple weeks ago in California. Great guys, great band. Gary also talked a lot about Van Halen, which I asked him about, and some great stuff came from that interview that made a lot of news at the time. This happened live on the radio a couple weeks ago. So we'll start with, we'll do them in the order that they happen. We'll start with Pat, who came on and talked a little bit about the coming Extreme record and checking in. And it was the first time Extreme The gig they were about to do was the first show that they had played in over 2 years. So some thoughts with Pat, and then we'll follow it up with Gary Cherone, two members of Extreme on this week's podcast. Here's Pat Badger. All right, we're back. We are live from the Rolling Hills Resort Casino in Corning, California today and tomorrow. And I'm here because tonight, as I mentioned, Cheap Trick is playing. One of the great bands of all time, and opening for them tonight is this. These guys are all right. I mean, it's a decent band that's opening. They're kind of okay. I'm busting balls because that's what we do. Look at this. Pat Badger is here from Extreme. Good to see you, buddy.
It's so good to be here, Eddie. It feels like forever since I saw you, because I think the last time Extreme played was on the Monsters of Rock cruise back in 2020, right when the pandemic was hitting. So this is the first time we're playing.
And I'm joking. I love you guys and another amazing band. So it's great double bill tonight with Cheap Trick and Extreme. And by the way, I just found out there's a third act on the bill. That's apparently Alice Cooper's son. Does he have a son that's in the band?
You know, I was wondering who the opening act was. I didn't know that's who.
It's one of Alice's kids.
Is that right?
The promoter told me last night, which I had no idea.
So we're big Alice fans too. Yeah.
It makes me feel so old when all these bands. They just talk about Fogerty's kids opening for him, and then Alice's kids in the. It's crazy.
I'm grooming my kid right now to be the bass player of Extreme.
You're gonna have him replace you?
Why not?
It seems to be the thing to do. Do you know, when you say something like that, Pat, it reminds me of something I did on TV, on my old TV show, that I still can't believe to this day that I did this, but it speaks to what a great human being and great sense of humor Michael Anthony has.
Oh, he's the best.
The best, because I was interviewing Chickenfoot. It was at Irving Plaza in New York, second level of the upper balcony area. I don't know if you've ever been to Irving Plaza.
Oh, yeah. We played there.
Right. So there's a balcony and it drops, the floor on the bottom. So we shot this before they sound checked that day, before the doors were open. And it was all four guys from Chickenfoot: Satriani, Michael, Sammy, and Chad. And was at the time that Wolf just started playing in Van Halen recently, right? So I'm talking to Satriani. All four of the guys are standing. This was all on camera. This actually happened. And I say to Satch, I go, "Hey, Joe, you got any kids?" And Joe's like, "Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do." I go, "So how long before one of them is good enough to play bass and replaces Michael Anthony at Chickenfoot?" Now, I only knew I could do that because Michael and I are friends. And
he's
such a sense of humor.
Yeah.
And he looks, "Oh!" And Chad Smith jumped over the railing. This is all on camera, of Irving Plaza. That's like a 15-foot drop. And I looked at the guys. I go, "He's your drummer. You got a gig tonight. He's going to twist his ankle." He goes, "Yeah, he's insane." I mean, but anyway, it was, there's so much of that going on now. It's like, who knows?
Oh, yeah. No, there's a lot of kids out there taking a new path and creating stuff. And it's funny that we are at that age, though, where especially the generation of bands before us, 10 years older than us, all those kids were, they're all starting their own bands, and it's crazy.
You have kids?
How
old?
My son's 19.
Does he play anything?
He plays guitar, but I told him, "You're not going into the music business, no matter what you do." Yeah.
Is he good?
Yeah, he plays. He plays guitar. He's good.
Does he want to do what Dad does?
No.
He's not. He's doing it for fun.
He's actually going to college now and studying, stuff like engineering and things that I could never comprehend.
Keeping it as a hobby then is basically
is. Yeah.
So, dude, you look great. What'd you do, man? You got to give me your tip. You weren't eating at Rockin' Brews last night, clearly.
Dude, I went on a little diet. I dieted down because I was on the, eating it, drink anything I want because I got no gigs because of COVID, and I put on a little
COVID
weight.
20.
So, yeah, I put
the
on
COVID
the
COVID 15.
So I just lost the COVID 20.
And how'd you do it?
Dude, it was simple as diet and exercise. Yeah. They say that's what you have to do. And I stopped drinking for a little while. Mm-hmm. Obviously, all those empty calories don't help. So,
right.
I feel great. Yeah, I'm back to drinking.
All right, good. We'll have a few tonight. See where you put the 15 back on this weekend.
Yeah,
Pat.
Yeah. I think I'll sweat it out tonight, though. It's going to be hot out here.
You haven't played. Now, you mentioned the Monsters Cruise. I remember because we were all on that. And it was funny at that time because everybody was talking like, this Corona thing, you know, we were kind of all joking about, like, it's not going to, everyone's drinking Corona beer, like, it's not a thing. And of course, the world changed shortly after that cruise.
Absolutely.
But I mean, we that was the last time Extreme played.
That was the last time we played, was on that cruise. And I remember being on, like, seeing on my phone that the news was breaking about, like, the Diamond Princess or whatever that ship was. It was being quarantined over, like, in Japan. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, we're on this cruise ship. What if that happens to us? And we're, like, stuck on this thing for, like, weeks. And it ended up, you know, some of those cruise ships ended up, you know, weeks of people being quarantined. It was crazy at that time. And we all thought we were going to die.
I think there's actually a documentary about that exact ship and what happened on that, because that was, like, the first time that people were quarantined on the ship. I saw it. I think it was on HBO that they actually covered that. But, yeah, I mean, it's interesting because we all talk about, I do it as well, like the pandemic and the effects of it in past tense. And of course, we're all living again, which is great. But the reality is every day I have a story on here about a tour being halted or disrupted because of it.
Of course.
And you guys lost a show at M3, right?
We did. Yeah. Kevin ended up, testing positive. And so even though he wasn't, like, you know, on his deathbed or whatever, it would be irresponsible to fly or be, you know, expose other people to it. So we had to pull the plug on M3, like, you know, a couple of days before. So it was, that was a little disappointing, but...
So it was Kevin that had it. I thought Gary or Nuno had it too. I didn't know.
We've all had it. Well, yeah. I don't think Nuno's ever had it, but we've all, like, had it a little bout with it. But nothing, you know, obviously, knock on wood, nothing serious. So it is what it is. You know, that, like you said, there's shows, tours getting canceled left and right still to this day.
It's crazy. And everybody seems to have an alternate out there, like a ringer, either a crew guy or a guy they're holding that knows the set to be called in the event that something goes down so they don't miss a show. Obviously, you guys are not really in a position that you want to do that.
No, we've never even talked about doing that. I mean, if it's not the four of us, I don't think we're going to play a show.
Now, going into your first show tonight, where you have not played in over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Is that nerves at all anymore? Or is that, do you rehearse? Did you rehearse?
You know, we did a rehearsal, Gary, Kevin, and I did. You know, Nuno lives out here on the West Coast, so, you know, it didn't really make sense for us all to fly out here to rehearse. You know, we've done shows in the past, other tours, other shows that we've done this very same thing, where we all, you know, Kevin, Gary, and I have gotten together. And then, we just... you know, come do our thing. So I'm not nervous about it. You know, I've played gigs in the last couple of years, so it's not the first time I've stepped on stage.
Done in the last couple of years? I heard you're playing with this Journey tribute that's, like, kind of okay.
You know, it's fun to play in a tribute band. I have my own tribute band, the Dark Desert Eagles, which is an Eagles band.
Oh, you told me about that, actually.
Yeah, so I've been playing gigs with that band for the last couple of years, and instead of playing bass, I play guitar and sing lead vocals, so it's been a big eye-opening experience, taking a different role within a band.
And singing Eagles stuff, I mean, all that harmony and stuff.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's got to be unbelievable.
Yeah, and I'm singing the Glenn Frey and the Don Henley stuff, so it's a trip singing those songs and seeing people singing those, you know, classic hits back at you, you know. I've been playing also, I'm filling in on bass this summer with my good friend and manager, Rob. His Journey tribute called Voyage, which is, we did our first gig about a week ago at Hampton Beach, sold out, 1,800 people. And so that was kind of a gut check time for me, because that was the first time I've played bass on stage in 2 years, and getting in front of all these people on no rehearsal. I just learned their stuff from some live recordings and stuff. But again, it's so fun to play those old songs that we grew up listening to.
Of course.
So this summer I have some Eagles and Journey and Extreme dates, Voyage. I'm sorry, not Journey. Voyage dates and Extreme. So I feel like I'm back on tour this summer. It's been great.
So you and finally with Extreme, there's touring activity going on, because in addition to this first show tonight, you're doing Monsters on the Mountain, which is in Tennessee. That's on you're on the August 19th date.
I believe that's the first night.
And then you got a date here at Rockin' the Rivers in Montana, which I've actually been there. I celebrated my 50th birthday hosting that show, which is now 7 years ago. But I don't know if you guys played there. It's a beautiful setting.
No, I've never been out there. But we're hoping to invite the cast of Yellowstone out to the show.
Kevin Costner comes riding in on a horse.
That'd be amazing. but we want to meet Beth. I think
everyone would like to. She's wild, yeah. Montana, Rockin' the Rivers, great setting. Again, I was there. I haven't been there since, but 7 years ago, and that or 8 years ago, coming up now, and you're doing that on August 12th, and you're also on. I think you're already on Monsters of Rock for the next one, right?
We are. Yeah, confirmed for Monsters,
which is early next year.
Yeah, except I think it's run a little later.
It is.
Yeah, it's like in May or something, isn't it? Yeah,
it is a little later.
We're confirmed on that. And then we have a few extreme dates in September as well.
You got one huge one.
There's a big one.
Fenway Park.
You know, I don't even want to talk about the show because it seems like it's cursed, right? So we were supposed to play. It was announced in 2020. We were invited to be on the Aerosmith 50th anniversary show, extreme direct support for Aerosmith at Fenway Park. Okay, so obviously COVID had a different plan for that. And then they rescheduled it for 21, and Aerosmith decided they were going to pull the plug on all 21 dates and wait till 22. Mm-hmm. And as you know, recently they announced that Steven Tyler was going into rehab and canceling, you know, a couple of months' worth of dates.
Right.
So from what I've heard and read, Aerosmith is planning on starting to tour like late August or early September, doing their Vegas residency, and then Fenway is on. So, God willing, nothing will, you know.
Well, how it actually goes, because it's actually announced. So right now, their first show back is actually in the New Hampshire area, isn't it, Rob? Is it New Hampshire, Bangor, Maine? So right now, Bangor, Maine is supposed to be is announced. This is all announced as the show. And then the next show is going to be, would be Fenway.
Right.
And then they'll start the residency.
Then they do the residency.
They basically chopped off the first 2 months of the residency because I just came here from Vegas and the billboards are up there announcing the residency to start in September. But I understand you almost not wanting to mess with talking about it because it's almost, I would think for a band from the Boston area too, it's surreal for you to think that you'll play Fenway in front of Aerosmith.
It would be surreal standing on what is the outfield looking at Fenway. And of course, we have done stadiums with Aerosmith before, so that bucket list has been checked off. You know, we were lucky to play over in Europe. We've done soccer stadiums, and we did, you know, a lot of, we did some touring with Aerosmith back in the day. And so, but to do it at home at Fenway with our families, with our friends coming down would be, you know, really an epic night for all of us. So
have you, has Extreme ever played Fenway Park?
No, we've never played Fenway.
Never.
Yeah. So I kind of look at this as maybe a once in a lifetime opportunity to really, you know, to do something like that at home. That would be a thrill. You know,
maybe it's better that it doesn't happen though, because I can't imagine your guest list.
No, we were already like, okay, we only have like 7.5 tickets each once we divide them up, right? So everyone buy tickets. We're like, it's been crazy. We're trying to block off, you know, seats for everybody and get everyone good seats and make sure everyone's handled. But so that one's definitely circled on the calendar as what would be the most exciting gig. Could be one of the most exciting gigs of the year probably of our career. You know, it'd be exciting to do that. So
yeah, I could only, I mean, I definitely want to try to make that myself, if assuming it happens. I mean, I hope Steven's getting well. I mean, I'm really glad that I'm glad, I said this to a lot of people, at his age with what he's been through, the fact that he recognized the problem and got help immediately is great, because we need these guys sticking around. And with all the years on him, he wouldn't have lasted long if he wasn't doing the right thing.
It's
great that he saw it, and hopefully he gets well and will be ready to go in September.
Yeah.
Because that guy is just the freak of freaks as far as performing and singing. And
you know, as far as all the great front men from the day,
he's the best.
He wins the best. You know, I mean,
Although the guy playing tonight on After You, he's pretty damn good too. If you see Robin Zander
is one of my favorites voices of you know. So for me, this is a huge bucket list today, just to be able to play with Cheap Trick.
I mean, have you ever done that?
We've never played with Cheap Trick.
Oh my god,
we've crossed paths a bunch of times. We've hung out with them. They've come to our shows. We've gone like Gary got up on stage with them, I think, and has guested with them. But we've never been a support act for them. And again, it's kind of a trip because, you know, I turn into fanboy when I see these guys. And like, I remember being in middle school and hearing I Want You to Want Me on an AM radio for the first time that some girl was like listening to and going, wow, I like that band. I went bought the record, you know, live at Budokan. And from then on, I've been a massive fan. And you know, so it's a thrill to play with those guys.
Yeah, and they're still so good. And now, speaking of people's kids, so now Dax has been in the band a while playing drums.
Right, yeah.
Rick's son. But also now Robin's son, who's also named Robin, they call him RTZ, Robin Taylor's aunt, he plays in a supporting role in the band, rhythm guitar and some backing vocals. And he's a chip off the old block with Robin. It's crazy how talented that kid is. And that kid has played in every position in the band.
Yeah,
he has subbed for Rick Nielsen. He has subbed on drums
for
Dax. He's subbed for Tom. The only person he's yet to sub for is his dad.
I saw him actually sub for Tom because I went to our buddies Ernie Bach Jr. for the car dealer from New England. He had a private event and Cheap Trick was playing, so I was lucky enough to go to that event. And Tom had just had heart surgery or something. So
he's back though. Tom's back, thankfully.
Yeah. And dude, what amazing bass tone! Oh. You know, that's such a big part of Cheap Trick that people don't realize is that 8-string or 12-string bass tone that he has. But his Robin's son was on bass that night, so it was amazing. Yeah, it was great.
So I see Gary back there kind of pacing. He's going to come on for a few minutes. And I know he's it's like a boxer getting ready to go in the ring. He's like he's about to fight Mike
Tyson.
He gets
in the zone.
He's like it's like he's never done an interview before. I can see him. He's right next to us. And I don't have two headsets, so I can't put him on at the same time. So I'm going to let you go in a second and then take a break. And then we'll put Gary on for a few minutes and he'll get ease into it. And maybe I'll give him a shot of vodka or something to calm him down. So I'm going to ask you this question so he doesn't have to deal with it, so he doesn't have to stress.
The record's coming out next year.
Thank you. That's all we needed to know. That's it. It's as simple as that.
Listen, we have inked a deal. I knew this question was coming. We have inked a deal with the label.
We know there's a record done.
There's a record, yep. And I know there's been a lot of talk over the last 10 years. I mean, it's been COVID definitely threw a bit of a monkey wrench into the timing of everything. As a lot of people don't realize what goes into setting up a record. There's like 7 months of press and doing videos and this and that and the other thing. So there will be something next year.
Next year's 12 months. Front end, middle end, back end, what are you thinking?
I'm not the one. I don't like to come on and make any false promises or predictions, so I'm not going to go there.
All you're saying is next year.
Next year.
Possible we get a single.
Because I don't know. I don't have a.
Well, because now you have a label, right?
Yes.
You do have a record deal for it.
Yes.
So that they're going to dictate that, I would imagine.
But that was recently signed.
Right.
So, yeah, they will
dictate
that.
So they've got to do the setup and the planning.
Exactly. They'll lay out a whole marketing plan. So for me, I can't, like, predict whether it's – I have no idea, you know, until it's basically dictated to me.
But for the Extreme fans that are asking, we know the record's done, and we now know there's a record deal, and it will come out next year.
True.
There you go. That's all we need to know. All right. Maybe a single comes soon. A lot of bands put out singles way early before the record's out.
Again, that's all stuff that's out of my – I just play bass.
Are you happy with the record?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah? All right. It's like this is like extreme Chinese democracy over here, for God's sakes. It's like you guys are like what's the mystery is unbelievable.
Again, every band has its share of stuff.
Will you make candles for the new record and send them out? Do you
candles.
Know about that?
No.
For the last record, you guys made really cool, maybe it was a Christmas gift, Extreme candles. I have it on my desk.
Oh, is it white with
it's
the Extreme
white.
Logo?
Square white with the Extreme logo. They're great.
I have one too. I had nothing to do with it. Someone gave it to me too.
You guys always, you're like one of the last bands that actually does nice stuff like that. Like it used to be people in my position used to get schmoozed all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can't even get somebody to send me a CD.
Wow.
But I remember one year you guys sent me a pecan pie. There was like a candle that came one year. Like you actually, You don't know anything about it. You're like, yeah, whatever.
That's all Robbie's doing. That's all Robbie's doing.
You're paying for it, though. I hate to tell you.
As long as I get one, too, then I'm okay with it.
Doesn't sound like you did. I'm telling you about it.
That's funny.
Are you still doing the alpacas?
I have a couple of alpacas as pets. Melanie and I have a beautiful farm that we have a donkey, alpacas, chickens. We have three Nubian goats that drive me absolutely crazy. But yeah, well, I got a little farm up in New England.
When the alpaca thing came out, you were like, because you can use the fur or something. You shave it, or
you don't
do that though.
I don't do that. No, in fact, someone sheared them while I was on the plane coming out this way. He showed up and did it for me. But I only have a couple now. But you shear them for their fleece, and then people use it to make hats, sweaters, scarves, like a sheep.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. And you did your own record a while ago too, right?
I've done a couple solo records.
You got more coming with that?
Yeah, I think Extreme's the band that, like, we only have like five or six Extreme records, but we have like 20 solo records. So that should tell you a lot right there.
So I told Gary, so I won't even talk to you about Extreme. I'll tell you about Tribe of Judah, and I'll talk to you about
I've had them on
for 55 different bands over the years. Yeah, so we got Extreme.
We got like 10 tribute bands.
Exactly.
We got all kinds of stuff.
Alpacas, Nubian sheep, whatever. You got everything.
If we all clear our plates from everything else, then we'll have more Extreme records. But until that time, we have all this other shit going on.
All right. Gary's softened up now. Now, we softened it up a little bit for him. So now he can just come in and hang out.
Oh, yeah. He's got some cool stuff to talk about.
I know he does.
Got going this summer.
I know he does.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I got the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, thanks to Pat for joining me. Great to visit with him. And I did talk Gary Sharon into coming on. And here is this conversation with Gary that happened on Trunk Nation, talking a little bit about Van Halen as well, in addition to, of course, Extreme and his coming performances with Joe Perry. Now Gary Sharon on the Eddie Trunk Podcast. All right. Well, I knew we said we're going to go free for all today, and we will have time for calls, but I didn't expect that these guys would actually step up to the plate and make themselves available to me. I mean, how long have I known him? I had to negotiate this like it was world peace or something. But we just had Pat Badger from Extreme, and now we have the voice of Extreme, the lead singer of the band, and the very nervous Gary Sharon. How many decades we've known each other? What are you worried about?
I got my head in the gig.
How do you feel about not having played in 2 years? Are you nervous?
I'm nervous, yeah. But I get
Why?
I get nervous before every gig.
Do you really?
Yeah.
even after all these decades of doing this?
Yeah, because my first thought is, how am I going to fool him this time?
Oh, come on, man. Yeah. The voice is always there with you. You're always in tip-top shape, ready to go. It looks like with you, COVID didn't put on 15 at all. You did just fine, right?
Yeah. I had, what we were talking before, I had COVID before Kevin got it, but before the M3. Yeah. But it was a mild case, so
yeah.
I got, you know, sometime luck of the draw.
So it's been 2 years since Extreme played. What have you done personally? I know that you guys worked on a record, and as Pat said, that record will come out next year, and yep. There's a deal in place, and now it's all set. But you personally, what kind of stuff did you, because you do a lot of other things. What have you been doing?
I've been busy with Hurt Smile, my mistress band with my brother Mark and Joe Pessia from Steelheart, writing some stuff and recording. So we're actually mixing a crop of songs that we're going to put out this year. So there will be music. Some music out this year.
No, okay. Yeah. So you do stuff with Hurt Smile, which is a cool band for people that haven't heard it.
Yeah.
You did a few things with them.
A couple records with them, you know. Toured, not extensively, but gone to Japan with them. I love it. It's an opportunity to write with my brother Mark and talented guys.
Yeah.
Keeps me busy.
For sure. And also, you got something, you know, you've done this before, and this is a byproduct, unfortunately, of what Pat and I talked about with Aerosmith pushing things back a bit. Now, Joe Perry's going to go out and do some project dates, and you played and sang with him before, and you're going to do it again, which is awesome. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that was the silver lining from my end, to play with Joe again. I didn't think it was going to happen again, you know. But when the Tyler news came out, I heard from Paul Geary, works with Joe. He says Joe's thinking about going out there and doing some dates, and I was just like, yeah. So because what was it, 2 years ago I played with him? I think it was 2018. I've done a handful of shows, always been great. It's, you know, it's surreal, you know. This is Aerosmith, this is Beantown, this is Joe, you know. So to play with him never gets old. Very excited. We're going to South America for 2 dates.
Oh, is that right? I know that there's 3 shows right now announced in the U.S.
Oh, geez.
Did you know that?
No, but I guess we haven't announced the, I don't know if they announced the Brazilian.
Well, we're not on in Brazil, so don't worry about it.
All right.
And then nobody will put that on the internet, I'm sure.
They announced the East Coast dates. We got a date with ZZ Top, which is great. We're doing something at the casino up in New Hampshire.
There's a date in Atlantic City I saw, too.
Yeah, yeah. I think we've done that before.
Yeah.
So 3 dates. You know, I think the Aerosmith guys are planning on rehearsing in August, getting that ball rolling again.
I was going to say, is there talk of maybe do some more, that Joe would add some more?
Yeah, depending on their schedule.
Right.
I told him I'm available. I love it. He actually asked me to dig up some older tracks that they don't do. So
I got suggestions. I love the first Joe Perry Project record.
Oh, yeah. Great.
I love that is the most.
Ralph Mormon.
But it's singer, such a raw, like, yeah, Ralph Mormon, but the stuff Joe sings on it. I mean, it's such a raw, like, my God, I still crank that record up to this day. I'm pulling up the track list because it's
Discount Dogs.
Let the music do the talking, which they, of course, then Aerosmith redid with different lyrics. Conflict of Interest.
Yeah.
Discount Dogs, Shooting Star, which I always wanted Ace Frehley to cover.
Wow.
Because the lyric, you know, my brand new ship is stellar bound, Spaceman.
Yeah.
I've told him about that 1,000 times. Break Song, which is instrumental. Rockin' Train, that's Ralph Mormon.
Yeah, we're going to do that, yeah.
The Mist is Rising is so cool.
Love it.
That lick in that.
It's Jimmy Page-ish. It's Zeppelin.
Ready on the Firing Line and Life at a Glance. The record is killer. And when you hear that record, it feels like it's so live feeling.
Yeah.
Now, what are you going to do?
We'll do some old school. But when you talk about that record, it was bittersweet for me because being an Aerosmith diehard.
Me too.
You know, when I first time I heard the record, I'm like, this shit could have been, this shit could have been Aerosmith songs.
Right.
Know? But it ended up great. And the second record with Charlie Farron.
Looking at it right now, East Coast, West Coast, No Substitute for Arrogance, which is killer.
Yeah.
I got the Rock and Rolls again, Buzz Buzz.
Yeah.
I mean, you should just do these two records in their entirety. Tell Joe, that's the set. 20 songs, boom. That is amazing, man. I love those two records so much. And Joe announced that he's doing the solo record he made, Switzerland Manifesto. Yeah. There's another version coming, and you have a song on that too, right?
Yeah, there's a few tracks, some of the best tracks with Chris Robinson. Sings a track. There's another Xander track on that. I was lucky enough to write a song with Joe. That's going to go on. It was too late for those songs to go on the original record, so it's Manifesto Part 2 or whatever. Yeah.
Right, right.
And we're going to do some of those tracks. It's funny. I think of the first rehearsals I did with Joe when Whitford did a run with the solo last time, and you know, you could spend hours doing those songs, but I was bugging the shit out of Whitford. I was pulling out, you know, Write Me a Letter, all that stuff.
Well, Brad's stuff with Aerosmith was actually very heavy, like Round and Round is super
some
heavy.
Of the heaviest stuff.
The heaviest stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody's Fault is Brad. I mean, it's really heavy stuff in that. With the Joe Perry Project, when he does this and these shows coming up, how many Aerosmith songs are actually in the set as well?
That's always a...
Maybe something like Combination, I would think.
No, he does combo, but he's going to do, you know, he likes to do the Aerosmith that they don't do.
Right.
You know, so that's going deeper. You know, we pulled out Pandora's Box. We pulled out Adam's Apple. Some stuff that he didn't do. So there's some tracks, some older tracks on the first and second record we're going to pull out.
And I'm curious, as a fellow Aerosmith fanatic like myself, you mentioned it was bittersweet when 1980 rolled around, Let the Music Do the Talking comes out, and you're thinking that. But what were your thoughts on Rockin' a Hard Place?
Rockin' a Hard Place. Great record.
Because it was almost one of those rare things where for a brief time it was addition by subtraction. Because I love Rockin' a Hard Place, and I love the first project records. Yeah. So it was almost like, okay, I want Joe back in Aerosmith, of course. But for right now, this is actually, both things are actually really cool.
Yeah, I was working at a record store, and just to see the different faces, what was it? No, was Whitford on? Whitford was still in the band.
The Rockin' Hard Place does not picture Brad. It pictures Rick Dufay.
Right.
He actually didn't play on the record.
Right.
The record, I was told all the guitars on Rockin' Hard Place are Crespo. But then Brad left, and then they brought in Rick Dufay. And they picture,
I like
in
Dufay.
Time for the photo and the tour, but he's actually not, doesn't play on the record.
Right. Crespo's on that.
Crespo did the whole record.
Yeah. But he's on the back, right?
Crespo and Dufay are pictured on the back, yeah.
I like the record. It's great. It's still Tyler was, you know, still, you know, his voice wasn't peaking, but it still had the essence. You know, he was, you know, you could tell he was a little wary on that record, but the songs were great.
Well, he was at the height of his drug addiction. Yeah. I mean, he was struggling, but still, Bitches Brew and Jailbait and
Bolivian Ragamuffin.
Yeah.
There's a Lightning moment. Strikes.
There's Lightning Strikes, which they'll do every once in a while with the current band.
Right.
But there's a moment in, I forget what song it is. Maybe it's Jig Is Up. I don't know, but there's a moment in that song where if you listen, I didn't realize this, and it was actually Snake from Skid Row told me this a long time ago. If you listen closely, Tyler's so out of it, and he didn't have a lyric for a certain part of the song. He actually recites the, is it the Burger King or the McDonald's thing at the time?
Hold the pickle, hold the lettuce.
He actually,
special orders don't upset.
He sings that on the freaking record. It's one of the lyrics. And I was like, how is that? Because I think Jack Douglas did
that
record
too. I heard it the other day.
And you listen to it and you're like, holy shit, he's singing the Burger King theme from 1980.
I didn't know the story behind that.
Yeah, that he just didn't have anything and just said fuck it and sang that.
Nuno, big fan of that record.
Rockin' Hard Place. Yeah. And I used to see Crespo because Crespo lives in Vegas for years, still does, but he used to be out and about and playing the clubs a little bit. I heard he had some health problems. I haven't seen him much in a while, but I had him on because when Rock and the Hard Place hit 40, I guess it was, he played it. He played it in Vegas in its entirety with his own band.
Is it on YouTube?
And I went to it. I went. It was great.
It's good?
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. So Jimmy, and when Aerosmith played Vegas, they invited Jimmy to come see them. And
oh, that's nice.
So they're definitely cool, but I haven't seen or heard much about Jimmy in a while. I can't let that. Now, Pat talked about the Extreme record next year. We know all that.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add about it?
I'm hopeful with the, I think the record company's going to push some music this year.
I think
so. Maybe a video or at least something out, because if we're going to set up the record, you know, we'll be releasing music. So I'd like to think I'm a wishful thinker. I think we're going to get some music out for the fans.
There's a strategy now. Who knows the best way to release records anymore because it's the Wild West. But there's some artists do things where they'll put out like 3, 4, 5 singles videos before the actual album's even available. Others, one song, the record comes out in a month sort of thing. What do you think's the better way to go?
I think a Wolfie. And when he released,
put out a lot before
he put
his
out
record.
At least 5 or 6 tracks before the record came out. I thought it was great.
Yeah. I think that sometimes confuses fans, though, because they're like, well, where is the actual record already? Like, you almost forget that there's a full record coming and you feel like it's almost out already when there's too much. So I think there's a line.
Yeah. My thought, you know, it's like the news cycle is so quick. I don't know about, you know, if you put out a record, the whole record, and not set it up, at least tease, you know, the fans. It comes and goes. There's something else that everyone looks the other way. So,
short attention span.
Yeah. So I kind of lean towards, you know, trickling it out a little bit, at least 2 or 3, before the record comes out. Man, you know, I think old school, those days are over, you know. I'd like to keep on putting out music. Doesn't even have to be a record at this point.
Yeah. How do you feel about the material?
That's what I wanted to add. I think this is some of the best stuff Nuno and I have written.
Wow.
In our catalog.
Yeah.
I think he would say the same thing. And plus Nuno's, you know, there's only one Nuno, and he outdid himself on this record.
Yeah.
I don't want to hype it, but I think, Nuno's ballistic on it. His solos are, they blow me away, and I'm tired of listening to him.
Right, I was going to say, you've been staying there listening to him for decades, so for you to say that, that's a big...
No, I look at it as how does he outdo himself, but he does, I think, and proud of a lot of the songs on the record that me and Nuno wrote. So.
Yeah. Good. Well, I can't wait. I heard 30 seconds of it a few minutes ago. So that's all
I heard. Solo, right?
Heard a solo. Yeah. That's the first thing.
It's good stuff.
Right. Yeah. So, but I look forward to hearing the record, and I know the fans look forward to getting. Okay. I cannot let you go without asking you about this.
Okay.
I have always defended your tenure in Van Halen, and I've always said that.
You have.
I've always have. Yeah. And because I feel strongly about it. So we know now that because it's come out, you know, Satriani, Jason Newsted, Michael Anthony was on here a couple weeks ago talking about it. They keep trying to get something together for Eddie.
Right.
Have you been contacted? Has there been any dialogue that you've had with them?
No, I haven't been. And, you know, I think it all stems from, I think it's a lot of clickbait. I mean, I know things come up every month, and the obvious thing is you want to put on a tribute. I think of the Freddie Mercury tribute. You know, I'm like, Eddie deserves that.
Or look what is happening, just announced with Taylor Hawkins.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, that...
Which
that,
is wonderful.
It's wonderful, but here, Taylor's been gone a couple months, and now we've got a London and L.A. and announcements and charity and everything, and it's like, here we are, Eddie's gone 2 years in October, and we're hearing from, all respect to Jason Newsted, but he breaks this, and then... Roth says something, and then Satch says something, and it's all been confirmed that there was dialogue. Michael said that a year ago there was dialogue, but it just can't seem to, like, to me it should be so easy. A guy like Eddie Van Halen, anyone you ask is going to step to the plate.
Right.
And right. just like the fact that it can't like.
Yeah.
But.
Well, first, yeah, I'm sure, you know, I think the singers are the secondary. I think it, you know, this is an Eddie Van Halen tribute, so it's all Eddie's disciples, you know, or whatever, not even Eddie disciples, but, you know, the hierarchy of guitar players, you think of Vai, Satriani. You know.
And, well, your own guitar players come up a lot in this dialogue. It's
well, I haven't heard
hypothetical,
it.
Hypothetical.
Yeah, hypothetical Nuno people should that be, would, yeah.
Nuno, John Five, Zakk Wylde, people like yeah. that as well.
Absolutely. So, yeah. I think at the end of the day, it's going to be Alex. Alex will be the final word on it. Whether he wants to do it, it's, you know, I mean, if it happens, it'd be great. And you can see, all I can see is a sound check nightmare. Because it's one thing for singers to go up there. You give them a mic, they sing. You know, you go back to the Freddie Mercury. Everybody has a mic. It's a, you know, common denominator. And but with guitar players, sound check's going to be crazy because everyone's got their own amps. It's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah,
it's going to blow up. It's going to blow up before the gig.
Maybe that's why they can't get it off the mat.
Now you know,
guitar players.
You're dealing with guitar players.
Everyone says lead singers are the problem. You're saying
singers
it's guitar
are tough.
Players.
Singers are tough, but you know when it comes to equipment, you know it's just mic. So it's just a mic. So that's the first thing I thought of. I go sound check.
Yeah,
it's going to be insane. Who's going on? Who's sound checking before who?
You, needless to say, if it happens, you would be open to doing it, right?
Of course.
I mean, yeah. you're one of only three people that have been lead singers on Van Halen records. I mean, yeah. So you absolutely should have whether you do without you or something, just get up there and have some placement in that of the three guys that have ever sung in Van Halen. You know.
Yeah.
So you're totally open with it. It's just if they put it together and they call you.
Yeah, if they do it, of course.
And Pat's raising his hand. He's ready to play bass if they need a bass player at all. You know, I never asked you this either. Did you have any dialogue with Eddie before he passed? Did you?
I did.
You did. Can you share anything about that?
We rekindle our relationship like at end of 2015, 16. And it was just, I reached out to him and we picked up where we left off. It was wild because, you know, we went back and forth and we talked. And then when I went out to L.A., I finally got to see him and it was great. It was.
Was he ill when you saw him?
He was going through. He was going
treatment.
Through. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going through that. But he was all he said to me was, I'm kicking its ass. And at the time he was, you know, he'd have good days. And, you know, there was one time I saw him. And he was just getting back, and he was just like, ah, man, I'm not feeling great. You know, I go, that's cool. We can just hang for a little while. But he was great. And then it was, I think the last 6 months, it got real quiet. I reached out to him a few times, and it was, he got back to me later. And I just had a feeling something was going down.
When you were reconnecting with him, were you guys talking about doing any music again together, or was it just friends kind of reconnecting?
It was friends, but there was a couple conversations. Little did I know until it was confirmed by like Wolfie after Eddie passed. I remember hanging out with Eddie, and he was talking about the kitchen sink, not in those terms, but he was talking about. It was around the time that there was what was it the 40th anniversary, and they were talking about getting together. To do something, I think, with Dave.
Okay, because Wolf has said that there was a kitchen sink tour, which was going to be you, Sammy, and Dave.
So the conversation I had with him was, I said, yeah, when you do that, Ed, you know, when you're doing, no, it wasn't the kitchen sink thing, when they were talking about doing something again with those guys, I remember saying, hey, if it doesn't work out, I know a singer for cheap. And he laughed and he looked at me, and at the time he goes, you never know. And then I remember thinking, going, that was odd. I just remembered him saying that. And then when Wolfie said it after he passed, I go, that was his reference. Mm. But we, you know, we talked music, you know, we talked about the record and, you know, the
record you made. Three.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What were his thoughts on that in retrospect?
He was proud of it. He loved it.
Yeah.
You know, for me, in retrospect, you know, the production and I've said it a few times. I wish I went on tour with the guys before I did the record, because it was a project that turned into a band. You know, we wrote from the first day on, and that was great, and we hit it off. But you know, you had to feel each other out. But by the time we were on tour, there was a brotherhood. So when we got back in, and he would write, and we would jam, you know, scat over things. That's when things felt, you know, good.
So you're saying that there would have been a better chemistry with you and the band and the whole thing together,
yeah,
if you would have done some shows and did the live thing first,
yeah,
and then went and made a record.
Yeah, because I was feeling my way around too. But I mean, I was comfortable there, but I thought it locked in. That 98 tour was great. I thought Eddie was on fire. You know, the set list was both eras, you know.
I mean, Sammy did a couple Roth songs when he was in, but not a lot. And yeah. Let's be honest, Dave could never sing Sammy stuff. So I've said that a million times. You were the one guy that would equally handle both eras and did it well. And of course, your own stuff from three. But yeah. I mean, that's really not a lot of people are willing to or could do that. So
I think, you know, after, as time goes on, I think the record is received. It's not as, you know, criticizes. I just think over time, people have accepted a little bit more. Of course, it's an anomaly. I don't think it's fair to me to put me as a Van Halen era. You know, you got Sammy 10 years, right? Basically,
right.
Almost. But for me, it was a record. Now, if I had a couple records with him, then I think you could put it in that category.
But it was a tour too. I mean, it was a big, pretty big tour. You guys did how many shows on that run?
I don't know. We did. We played Australia.
I saw you at Madison Square Garden on it.
First time playing Australia, New Zealand. You know, Europe got canceled because Alex got hurt. But it was extensive in America.
I was going to ask you, was there a highlight for you in your time in Van Halen? Was there one thing that jumps out, a show, a moment, maybe just the holy shit factor of I'm recording a record with Van Halen?
Yeah, Pat used to come visit me up at Eddie's house. And
I'm sure a lot of people wanted to come visit you when you were in Van Halen.
Yeah, Nuno, yeah. It was like a kid. Yeah, it was like a family building a pool in the backyard. You find out you got a lot of neighbors. Yeah. That was a trip, but I, you know, when Pat would come up, he's like, you're in
Van
my
Halen.
Favorite band. Yeah. Okay.
No pressure or anything.
Yeah.
And you know, you've done stuff with Sammy. You've jumped up and you've done stuff with Sammy on stage, like in recent years.
Oh yeah.
Where you guys have
Sammy's great.
Yeah.
Always been, consider him a close friend now.
Yeah.
But he invited me like 2001 when he came into town. And then ever since then, every time he comes in, he'll invite me. I'm like, I just want to see the show.
Yeah.
I don't have to come up and sing. But
and what about Roth? Have you ever met or done anything with Roth?
Extreme toured with Roth.
But not when you were in the not after you were in Van Halen.
No.
Right, before.
Yeah, I've never.
But since you did Van Halen, have you ever talked to Roth or met Roth or done anything with Roth?
No.
What was it like when Extreme went out with him initially?
Roth is great.
Yeah.
What was the record? Eat Him. What was it? A Little Ain't Enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Extreme was on that tour with Cinderella, and that was right around More Than Words blew up. Dave was great. He was great to us.
A Little Ain't Enough was the record that Jason Becker recorded, but I think it was Joe Holmes that did the tour, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, if I recall, right? Yeah. Because Jason Becker had ALS after the recording, and remarkably, Jason Becker still hanging in there. It's just incredible. If you've not seen a documentary called Not Dead Yet,
wow,
it is an amazing documentary about Jason Becker that was done already over 10 years ago, I believe. And the title refers to the fact that he was given, like, I don't know, a couple of years to live, and that was 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing. And actually, when Eddie passed away, Eddie Van Halen passed away, video came out of Eddie visiting Jason Becker and giving him a guitar.
I think I've seen that.
Yeah. And his family, Eddie did that privately and didn't want it to be known. But then after Eddie passed, as a tribute to Eddie, Jason's family put that video out to say,
"That's right.
Look at the type of guy that Eddie Van Halen was that he didn't want people to know." Right. But he actually went there, gave Jason a guitar. He was a fan of Jason's. You talked to him in the early stages of Jason, you know, battling ALS. It's
what,
a remarkable story.
What year
story.
Was that?
I think that was, Eddie visited him?
Yeah.
I don't know. It could have been when you were in the band.
I think it was.
Because it could have been around that time for sure.
I think it was. I saw the clip and I didn't know when it was. I saw Eddie and how he looked and I go, man, that's familiar. And I think he played, without you. Mm. It was either when I, just before I joined the band, because he had that riff the day I got there, and or it was at that time, yeah.
Was that the first thing he played for you musically?
Yeah.
Was the song Without You?
Yeah. Well, he we did the audition. We took lunch break, and he goes, "Hey, you want to write a song?" I go, "Yeah." And so he came in. He was playing that. Alex playing it, and I ended up started scatting over it. And we wrote that song the first day.
Wow.
First day.
And it ended up being the first single on the record, too.
Yeah.
I still love that song. That's a great song. Joel, let's play a little bit of that when we let Gary go. Pull that up if you can, please, Without You from Van Halen 3. All right, and last thing.
Mm-hmm.
Did you, I know that you guys wrote, meaning Eddie Van Halen and Van Halen, you guys started working on what would have been a second record with you, right?
Yeah.
Because I've heard some of the stuff that would have been that record.
Yeah.
Do you think that stuff will ever see the light of the day? And how complete was it? Was it just demos?
There was a bunch of songs. A lot of them were demos. Some were Eddie playing drums. Some was just a drum machine. Some were jams with the band, and a few were brought to production. He's escaping me the name, but we did a few things with a producer. They were good. Whether they come out, that's Alex.
Yeah, and that's the big thing, whether it's the tribute thing or whether it's the archives that exist that we know.
Yeah.
If they'll come out, will they come out? I've talked to Wolf about it. Wolf is like, I'm focused on my thing now. It's going to take time to dig through it. Some of it's not labeled. It's really a project to assign a couple people to if they ever wanted to do it. I know for a fact there's a box set that's done and ready to go for years. But that's held up in some, I heard
it.
I heard
really?
Stuff on it. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I've heard stuff on it. So there is, it's just, it's hard to, I mean, I asked Michael Anthony about it a couple weeks ago. He's like, look, the Van Halen situation's tough. It's a bit of a soap opera at times. And that was his take. I mean, do you have any insights as to why you think it's so hard for them to get things out or make things happen? Or is just, they just don't, do they not realize the magnitude of it for the fans?
I don't know. I mean, it's that's tough.
Yeah.
That's in that camp. It's tough. And you know, Alex is the last word on that.
Yeah.
And with Wolfie, you know, he's doing his own thing. I like how he handles.
I do too.
You know, the record's great.
Yep.
He's doing his own thing. He's not there to play Van Halen music. He's a musician. He's an artist. He's putting out his music. That was one of the first things Eddie did. When I saw him, all he could do was talk about Wolfie, and he was playing me Wolf's material, at the time, you know? And, so I know Wolf has said, I'm sure he's got enough material for a second and third record already.
He's working on a second record, and I know that he said, Wolf told me that too. He said that his dad would always tell him, you do you, meaning do your own thing. Don't be a clone of me or try to do. And I think, I've said it many times, Wolf could have taken a really easy path if he wanted to go out and basically do a Van Halen tribute and play half the songs or more. But the fact that he didn't do any of that, to the point that not even play a note of Eruption and made it his own thing, I think that, I think that in the end, it's going to be more rewarding for him because it's his own thing.
Yeah.
But also it's, but then again, that's a damned if you do, damned if you don't, because then of course, if he went out and played three quarters of Van Halen songs, everybody would say he's just trading off his dad's past.
Yeah.
So you know how people are. You can't win. Lose no matter what you do. So.
Yeah.
All right.
The Van Halen tribute, if it happens, it happens. I don't know. You know, there's always going to be a demand because people got to hang on to it.
I don't think it should be a tour. I've said that before. I think the mistake they're making is even saying tour. That would be a nightmare. You talk about sound checks. Forget it. That would be a nightmare trying to do a tour. But a one-time show, do charity. This way it takes the money stuff out of it. And go and get yourself, Sammy, Dave, some guest singers. Everybody does a few songs. Like you said, what guitar player wouldn't want to do two, three songs? Just like I went to the Chris Cornell tribute at the Forum. And the way they did that, the Audio Slave guys came out, played a couple songs with guest singers, Soundgarden. Then they had different groups of people. Yeah. And shoot it, record it, give all the money. Eddie had that charity, Mr. Holland's Opus, which Wolf told me was so important to him. Give all the money to that.
Yeah.
And just do one big send-off. Do it at the Forum or whatever, Staples, and be done with it.
Yeah.
I think that's the way to do it.
Well, I'll leave you with this. Extreme will do our own someday.
A tribute to Van Halen.
Mr. Ed.
That would be awesome if you did that.
Yeah.
Like a full set of VH?
Yeah, we could. I think the poor man's Michael Anthony could do background vocals, right?
I think Pat Badger would be just fine.
He'll be fine, and I think Nuno can handle.
Nuno can do, handle. You know what's funny, though, real quick on that? Speaking of Nuno, which, of course, you know, the ridiculous musician that he is. We were on the Monsters of Rock cruise. I don't know if it was the last one that we were all on or a previous one, but that Van Halen tribute, the Atomic Punks were playing.
Incredible. Oh, he went on. He played with them.
Well, he did. But, you know, it's funny because they didn't have his number. So I was in the room while they were getting ready. And those guys were saying to me, Joe and everybody in that band were saying, hey, tell Nuno we need him at this time. And we want him to play a couple songs. So I'm texting Nuno because we had the texting on the ship. And he said, Nuno says to me, tell him I'll play anything that they want me to play except Mean Street. And I said to Nuno, I text him back, why not Mean Street? And he goes, I can't play the open of Mean Street. He goes, I just can't do it right.
Wow.
I can't. And I was stunned. I'm like, Nuno cannot play the open of Mean Street. So I go and I'm
surprised he admitted that.
I don't know if they got that message, but Gary, I swear to God, here comes Nuno walking in at the point of the thing, and the singer goes up to the mic and he goes, all right, Nuno's here. He goes, let's do Mean Street. And I was like, oh. And I didn't do it intentionally. They just didn't get the note. And I swear to God, they started. No, he didn't do the beginning. They started the song. And he didn't play the beginning part. But I'm like, there's something Nuno, I'm sure he could do it, or maybe he just didn't have it down.
That is kryptonite.
That's what I'm saying. Who knew? Who knew? What was your favorite Roth era song to do and your favorite Hagar era song when you sang in the band?
Romeo.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the One.
Yeah.
The Hagar stuff was tough. When I was in good voice, I liked Dreams because it was such a challenge.
It's so high.
It was ridiculous.
My God.
It's funny. The nights I was tired, I'd look at Alex. I go, no Dreams tonight. I go, Ophelia Love.
Way easier, right?
Yeah. I'll pull that off. But yeah.
Great to see you, man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That
so
was
much.
Harmless.
It was easy.
Come on.
We're just hanging out.
Are we taping?
Can we do it now? No, the whole country just heard you. It's live.
We were on?
Oh, we were on. he's all nervous. Hey, I can't wait to see you back in action tonight, man.
Looking forward to
Extreme. Back after over 2 years tonight in Corning, California, opening for Cheap Trick. What a great bill. It's going to be a great night here in Northern California. And again, you can see Extreme, other shows coming up, including Monsters on the Mountain in Tennessee, Gatlinburg on the 19th of August, and Rockin' the Rivers, Three Forks, Montana, August 12th. And then, oh yeah, opening for that band Aerosmith at Fenway Park.
Oh, yeah.
Insanely cool is that going to be? And also see Gary singing with the Joe Perry Project coming up on the dates that they've announced as well. Great, great stuff. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks for coming
by. We'll
see you tonight. Well, great to visit with Gary and Pat Badger. Great show from Extreme there a couple weeks ago in Northern California. Those guys will be ramping up and get ready to go back full force in early next year. And I did get to hear some of the coming new record. Sounds amazing. So get ready for new music. It is done and likely maybe a single this year, likely coming out next year. All right. Thank you to Pat and Gary for being my guests on the Eddie Trunk podcast. Remember, social media at Eddie Trunk. Keep up with everything I have going on. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. Every Thursday, new episodes. Be sure to listen and check it out. And of course, if you have Sirius or XM Radio, join me for Trunk Nation Live Monday through Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern. Nightly re-airs, 10 to midnight Eastern. Anything you want, anytime you want on the Sirius XM app. Also, of course, there is a sixth show on Sirius XM on Mondays only, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern on 39 Hair Nation. You guys have yourselves a great week. Hopefully catch you on the radio. And if not, back here next Thursday for another episode of the podcast.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.